Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
If you'd like to follow along, please turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. And I'm just going to read like the first 7 verses. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest, and thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my 2 sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thine house, in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all the vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. I read something good in a bulletin the other day where it says people will tell you when you talk about election and when you talk about sovereignty and you talk about God's work, people will tell you, well, I believe, and whosoever will. Well, the answer to that is, well, me too. I believe in whosoever will. But I like what Tim James wrote about it. He says, as a matter of fact, I believe in whosoever will, and I can tell you who they are. That's right. And he was right. He says, all that the Father gives to me shall come to me. And I will in no wise cast them out. Everyone chosen in God or by God in Christ Jesus shall come willingly. Willingly. I still remember Earl's song about hornets and in the room and all that. He says, He can make you willing to go, He can make you willing to come. All those that labor and are heavy laden shall come willingly. And Christ Jesus shall give them rest for their souls. My sheep shall hear my voice, and they follow me. Guess what? That's whosoever will. And here's the kicker. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Now, so Christ makes his people willing. But here in this scripture, I believe, we find another characterization of those that come to Christ. They are empty vessels. And that's the title, Paul, empty vessels. Elijah told this woman, she lost her husband. And the creditors were coming. Because see, back in those days, if your husband died owing something, it was still up to you to pay it. And they were going to take her sons and make them slaves to pay off his debt. And Elijah said, here, what can I do for you? What have you got in the house? And she said, I got a pot of oil. That's all I got. Nothing else. Then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. Okay, so first of all, what do we see here? What does the prophet tell this woman to gather? Vessels. But specific vessels. Empty vessels. Empty vessels. Clay pots. Empty clay pots. It's a certain kind of vessel. Nothing more, nothing less. Empty vessels. Go abroad to all of your neighbors and gather empty vessels. I mean, that's the only qualification for these vessels given here. Understand? They don't have to be big. They don't have to be small. They don't have to be tall. They don't have to be short. They don't have to be wide or narrow. They just got to be empty. Empty. That's the qualification. That's the instruction given here by the prophet of the Lord. Now, I'm not going to tell you that in this illustration, Elijah is a type of Christ, but he definitely holds the office of prophet, which was one of Christ's offices, prophet, priest, and king. And if you don't like that thought of Elijah maybe being a type of Christ at times, don't read the rest of the chapter, okay, where he helps this woman get a son. Then that son dies, and he raises him from the dead. So don't tell, you know, anyhow, I'm just saying. But that's what he told her. He said, bring empty vessels. And where? Not a few. Not a few. Get as many as you can find from all of your neighbors. From everyone you know, look for an empty vessel and get an empty vessel. All of God's requirement for these vessels, and this is true story. This is not just for an illustration. This is an actual event that happened. God saved this woman's two sons by this oil from being cast into slavery. But he said they had to be empty. Just empty. You understand? God didn't want any quarter-filled vessels here. He didn't want any that was half full. He didn't want any that was three-quarter. They had to be empty. That's the qualification. Empty vessels. You know, he didn't even want any vessels that had just a smidgen in them. These vessels were to be completely and totally empty, void of anything in themselves. What am I saying here? God only fills empty vessels. Don't bring anything of yourself to offer to Jesus Christ. Amen. You understand? He won't have it. He doesn't want it. You understand? I hear him. I heard him not that long ago. Don't, quote, give your heart to the Lord, end of quote. He doesn't want your desperately wicked heart. Amen. He doesn't need your deceitful heart. Don't, and I quote, give your life to the Lord. Without Jesus Christ, you don't have a life. He doesn't need what life you have. Here's the thing. You need Him to give you a new heart. You need Him to give you His life. The only life there is. Boy, that's hard. Well, maybe it is. But it's so. That's the way it is. Elijah told this woman to bring empty vessels, and he meant empty vessels. Absolutely nothing in those vessels of their own. Nothing in them at all. Because God only fills empty vessels. He doesn't need the vessels need him. I like that. And here's the thing. God does not want or need any contribution from those vessels. And he never has. This is Old Testament, and it's no different in the New. Jesus Christ is not in the business of finishing what you think you started. God will not, listen carefully, I'm trying to say this correctly. God will not complete your salvation. He gives his salvation to empty vessels. To empty vessels. 100 or so years ago, a man asked Spurgeon, "So don't you think that the greatest hindrance to a man's salvation is his sinful self?" His sinful self. Now, most people might agree with that statement. It sounds good. But Spurgeon told him no. That's not the greatest hindrance to a man's salvation. Because Jesus Christ saved sinners.
Amen.
He saved the chiefest of sinners. He ate and he drank and he talked with publicans and sinners. And I know of two publicans he saved. One of his disciples was Matthew and Zacchaeus. And Lord knows how many sinners he saved. Well, wait a minute. All of them. We do know. But the Pharisees and the scribes saw him sitting there eating with publicans and sinners and talking with them, sitting at the same table. And he said, they said to his disciples, they didn't talk to Christ, they said to his disciples, why does he eat with publicans and sinners? The implication being, doesn't he know better than that? But Christ heard him and he answered him. He told him. He said, "They that are whole have no need of a physician. But they that are empty, they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And here's the thing, he didn't stop there. He said, "Go ye and learn what that means. I will have what? Mercy and not sacrifice." That's quoting the Old Testament. "I will have mercy and not sacrifice." Now, who asks for mercy? The righteous don't. They want what they deserve. The guilty ask for mercy. You understand, a fellow pleads for guilty and asks for the mercy of the court. The guilty asks for mercy. "I will have mercy and not sacrifice." Spurgeon told this fellow, he says, "No," he says, "I think that the greatest hindrance to salvation is our righteous self."
Yeah.
Our righteous self. Because nobody's too bad to be saved. But there are some people who think they're too good to be saved. You know, I'm a pretty good guy. God will save me. Uh-huh. He's looking for empty vessels.
Amen.
Oh, my. Empty vessels. "I am not come to call the righteous, but the empty vessels." Sinners. So what am I saying? Well, right now, as the same as back then, an empty vessel, an honest sinner, is a hard thing to find. It takes the work of God to bring an empty vessel. It takes the work of God to let you know you are a sinner. You have nothing. You are nothing in and of yourselves. So that's the kind of vessels this woman was to bring. than what Elijah tell her to do. When you come in, shut the door. And shut the door on you and your sons. And pour out into all those vessels that thou shalt set aside. After you have all these empty vessels, you didn't say go into your house. Come into your house. Come into your house. I like that. And shut the door. Shut the door. This woman and her two sons were to be in that house alone. So what do I'm seeing here? When God is filling empty vessels, the world is shut out. You're saying the world's not to know. I think I told y'all a few years ago, I've got a front door on my house, and that front door has two purposes, both complementary, I think. They're to keep me and my family, my friends, inside, but it's to keep the world out. You understand? God filling empty vessels is not the world's business. And to be perfectly honest about it, they wouldn't understand it even if they saw it. What's it mean, though? God filling empty vessels is a family business. It concerns the family of God. That's what it is. Filling empty vessels is the business of the family. Come in, you and your sons. Come in. And what? Shut the door. Shut the door. Then the prophet told her to pour out into these empty vessels. Well, not quite. He told her to pour out into all of the empty vessels. And then set them to the side when they're full. Set them to the side when they're full. Now, when she started, she had one vessel of oil. One. That's the source for all the oil in all the other vessels. Understand? There's only one source for the work of God. Amen. In an empty vessel. There only ever is. She didn't take this pot and pour it into that pot and then take that pot and pour it into another pot. No, she kept the same single pot. There's only one source for the oil. The fill an empty vessel. There's only one mediator between God and man. There's only one substitute, one sacrifice for sin forever, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There is a single source for all of the oil that goes into all of the empty vessels. Remember that. Only one had oil in it to start with. And every empty vessel was filled. She had her sons bring them to her. And she poured. And they set it aside. And she poured. And they set it aside. And she poured. And she said, bring me yet another vessel. And the son told her, there aren't any more. There aren't any more. What was the result of all these empty vessels in their house? Is all of these empty vessels were filled. Every single empty vessel was filled. And every single empty vessel was filled with that oil that came from that one source. That one source. And every empty vessel was full. And then it says this, and the oil stayed. The oil stayed. All those many empty vessels were filled, and there was still oil in the original vessel. And there was now, in that house, with that family, no empty vessels. Understand? If you're empty, God will fill you. If you're empty, God will fill you. If you're a sinner, Christ will save you. Well, that's too simple. No, it's not simple. It's the work of God. You understand? It takes the work of God to get you there as an empty vessel, and it takes the work of God to fill you, and then it takes the Word of God to tell you you're filled.
Amen. That's right.
He had to tell us, ye are complete in Him. You know why? Because sometimes we're too dumb to know when we're filled. We don't know. I don't feel like I'm filled. He didn't tell you to feel like you filled. He told you He filled you. We are complete in Him. There's plenty of oil today. The oil stayed. That original pot still had oil in it. The only thing that original pot was looking for now was what? More empty vessels. More empty vessels. That's all the oil was waiting on, was more empty vessels. Because this oil is sufficient. Because Christ Jesus Himself is sufficient. The Holy Spirit is sufficient to fill every believer. And God's grace is sufficient for every sinner. For every sinner. What was it, that message? An honest man will never die. An honest sinner will be filled. Wow. And there's plenty of oil today. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest. On the rest of it. God provides for His people. God provides for His family. Graciously, He provides. And we live by His grace. And we not only live, we live, we move, and we have our being in Him. In Him. We live by the life that He gives. By Him. And we live the life that He gives. Full. Complete in Him. Even when we don't know it. Even when we don't feel it. He says, I will never leave thee and I will never forsake thee. Because see, if God fills you, you're an empty vessel and God fills you, you will always be filled. You understand? Your oil is not going to run out. Once you were an empty vessel, now you are a filled vessel, and you will never be empty again. Guaranteed. By Him and His life. I will never leave thee, no, never forsake thee. Because if Christ fills you, you're filled. And you'll stay filled. See, now the question is, what are we looking for here? Well, we're looking for empty vessels. We're looking for empty vessels. Because empty vessels will be filled. It's not us that does the filling. It's the oil that does the filling. Oh, my. See, we're looking for honest sinners. You know why? Because Christ will save an honest sinner. We look for empty vessels because Christ will fill an empty vessel. We, all believers, are called earthen vessels, clay pots. And here it says that we're filled. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6 says this. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God. Earthen vessels, empty vessels, God will fill. He will. Every single one of them. Because then, in the Old Testament, and now, an empty vessel will not stay empty. He'll see to it that it's filled. What? Has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Then opened he their understanding of the Scripture. That's what it says about Christ in the last chapter of Luke. Then opened he their understanding of the Scriptures. You see, these are the sole authority that we have. These Scriptures right here. And these Scriptures here are telling us that God's going to fill every empty vessel. God's going to save every honest sinner. He didn't come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. Amen. And he's doing it wherever he pleases in his own good time. In the fullness of time, God revealed his Son in me, is what Paul wrote. In the fullness of time, God filled Saul of Tarsus, and he became the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
Christ will not stop until every single one of his chosen empty vessels is filled.
Amen. That's
right. After all the empty vessels were filled, the oil stayed. You understand? The oil's not going anywhere. The oil's not going anywhere. And that oil stayed. The source, the one source for all of the others, stayed. Stayed. You know, he could have said that it stopped, but they wrote it in here that it stayed. You know why? Because he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. He'll stay.